Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out at the house, home group meeting today. This is March, and we did not have a home group meeting for February because we had something atypical, and that was snow and sleet and rain last month, and so it was canceled. And so if you're keeping track and stuff, we did not have a home group meeting in February, and but this is March, and we will catch up with the Wilderness Truths from Modern Times. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's just get back into what we shared in January. There's a couple points I would like to share and get point our spirits back into the direction. And of course, we are now in the wilderness of sin. The children of Israel came out of Egypt in great victory, and of course, they were headed to the wilderness. And in the wilderness, that's the place where God makes soldiers, and that's what was happening in the wilderness of sin here. Is God is making soldiers. And since we live in the Jacksonville area, in my notes here, I have where God makes Marines. But that's where God makes soldiers, because if God cannot make a soldier out of you, if he cannot work those qualities that a good soldier in you, then God can't use you, because God needs discipline. He needs, a stick-to-itiveness. He needs hardness. Paul says that we are to be hard as a good soldier, and so this is where God, in the wilderness of sin, is where God started to turn the children of Israel into soldiers so that they could go in and conquer the land. I'm just thinking there's a lot of people who want to go and fight and conquer. Well, you can't go and fight and conquer unless you're prepared. You have to be prepared, and a lot of Christians today are not prepared. And when they go into battle, they're defeated easily. And that is not God's plan. Amen. So 2 points from back in January. And the first point, it is a very, very critical point. And I've said this point again, or I've said this point in the past, but it's a very, very important point. And the wilderness of sin is where God gives us equipment. And we looked at some weapons that God gave us in the past. We know that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God in the pulling down of those strongholds. And strongholds in our bodies are things that we depend on for strength. All of those things that we're built on that are not of God, those are strongholds in our life. So in the wilderness of sin, God gave the children of Israel, and he does us also, he gave us equipment. Also, he gave us rations, or gave us food. And here we look at a diet. A diet. God gives us a specific feeding, a specific diet, for a specific time to make us what he wants us to be. And that's a very, very critical point. God gives us those things. He gives us the rations. He gives us the food. He gives us a specific diet that God has for each and every believer so that he can feed that to them at a specific time, at a specific point, not so that they can be what they want to be, but they can become what God wants them to be. And that is a critical point. Most children today don't like a certain diet, and so they spit it up. But it's so true in God, many Christians do not like what God is feeding them, and so they don't eat it, and they never become what God wants them to be. Amen. And the other point is very, very important, and that is let us not do the work in ourselves. A lot of people I hear, we're going to take back what the devil stole and all of this, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Well, that's not the way it works in God. We need to let us not do the work, but let us allow God to work through us. The let us is let us allow God to work in our life, to break us and mold us and shape us into the vessel that he wants us to be. And we need to allow God to work in us. And as we die to ourselves, then God will be able to let us do things. We cannot do anything in God unless we allow God to let us. Let us. That's very, 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 very important point. A lot of Christians, they never understand that. They want to go out there and do many things for God. Well, it's a good desire, but it's better to become something in God. Let me say that again. It's better to become something in God than to go out and do something in God. It's very easy to start a church and do all of those things and have a big ministry and all that stuff. That's all that is relatively easy if you're a good speaker and flashy and all that good stuff. But I promise you, it's very, very difficult to become something in God. Amen?
Okay.
Sweetheart, can you give everybody the outlines? Okay, got them. Okay, good. Amen. All right, okay. And tonight, this is Wilderness Truth for Modern Time, number 20. Number 20. Now, 20 means this is the 20th month that we've been doing this, and I'm just amazed at how the Lord just goes ahead and does this. Amen? And tonight, we're going to go and look at a very familiar verse, a very, very familiar verse, and that's, you know, Timothy 3:16. And we're going to look at that verse a little bit, and then we're going to look at how that verse is the manual. Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture. Now, when it says all Scripture, it means all Scripture. Every verse in the Bible. All Scripture. Everything, every verse in the Bible. I don't care if it's Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22:21. This all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. And by the way, reproof is not correction. Reproof is something else. And we may even look at that. But all Scripture is profitable, or there's value in that for doctrine. And doctrine is the daily way that we live godly. That's what a doctrine is supposed to be. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all Scripture is there for us in doctrine, reproof, and correction and instruction only in righteousness. Only in righteousness. The manual is very, very, very important in our life. The Bible and the manual is also available to us. Many believers do not use the manual. Now that's kind of strange. Many believers, they become a Christian and they don't read the Bible. They do not read the manual. Without following the manual's instructions, they go in the wrong direction and get into a big mess, and they get into trouble. I will tell you, if you buy something and you don't read the instructions to how to put it together, you will make a big mess. And that's why many Christians in their lives, they become a Christian and they walk the aisle and they confess their sins and then they don't read the manual to show them how to go. Amen. When all else fails, you read the instructions. You read the manual. No other book or author is to replace the Bible. Now, I know there's a lot of books out there. I've written 3 books, and everybody's got books, and a lot of people, they're trade books, and, you know, this author and that author. Well, all of that is nice supplemental reading. All Christian books other than the Bible is mandatory. It is the manual. This is the book. This is the book that we must read, because it says all Scripture is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction. We've got to become familiar with the manual. All other books are supplemental reading, and I would recommend to read any supplemental books like that prayerfully, because there are so many books out there, and if they do not match up with the manual, then that's just going to cause problems. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of books out there that do not match what the manual says, and then, you know, you start putting the manual down and you start getting this guy's book and that guy's book, and the next thing you know, you're following his revelation. And that is the danger in reading all these books. You are following the revelation of what God showed this man here. And that's not what God wants in our life. God wants us to read the manual and give us revelation knowledge, and then we can follow the revelation knowledge that God gives us. If not, then you will read this guy's book, and you will see the way he has done it, and then you begin to follow him, and what you're doing is you are following another man's revelation, and that will lead you into serious trouble. No other book, no other author, only the manual is what we need to be reading. Now, I'm not saying don't read other books, but I'm saying if you do, you know, you need that. That should be supplemental reading. Amen. After a believer messes up in his life, then they decide to read carefully the instruction. I remember my Bible teacher Charles Hahn said the first sign of ownership of anything that we buy is when we read the instruction manual. That is the first sign of real ownership, is when you read the owner's manual. Once you do that, then you get a good understanding of the way things operate and the way things are working. Amen? We should read carefully the instructions before we are in trouble and get stuck in them. A lot of Christians are in trouble this very night because they do not take the directives that God gives them. Remember, all Scripture is for doctrine. It's for reproof. It's for correction. Uh-oh. That's a dirty word in most churches today. We don't like to be corrected by anybody. But the Scripture tells us that it's also for correction and for instruction. Wow. It's and for instruction. Wow. A lot of Christians are in trouble with that, are in trouble today because they do not take the directions that God has given them. Paul tells this in Philippians 4 and 8. It says, finally, brethren, Paul was saying many, many things, and when he was gone, he wasn't summarizing, he was closing out his thought here at Philippians 4 and 8. And he says, finally, brother, whatsoever. Well, we looked at whatsoever a couple months ago, didn't it? Whatsoever was one of those weapons. Was one of those weapons that God gave us. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever is a weapon that God has given us. Whatsoever is born of God will overcome ourselves. Whatsoever is born of God will overcome the devil. That's one of our weapons. Whatsoever is born of God will overcome and will be victorious. So finally, brethren, notice, he pulls a weapon out here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and that word virtue has nothing to do with being good, but that word virtue there means strength. It is a manlyhood. So what, you know, so whatsoever, if there be any strength, if there be, and it's not strength that we have with our muscles, but it is the strength that God projects in us as we die to ourselves and let Him build His strength in us throughout the world. So that is the virtue. It's not a virtue being good, but it's a strength that God builds in us. Paul said that I may be strengthened with might in the inward man. And that is the projection there of that word virtue. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul tells us what to think on. Think on those things that are honest and just and pure and whatsoever. Wow. These are very, very important. And it's because we become what we think on. We become what we think on. There is not one sin that we will ever commit that we haven't already went there in our mind. Every sin that we will commit, it is because we first have went there in our mind, we have thought about it, and then we just executed it. We become whatever we think about. And so if we think on those things that are good and pure and holy and righteous, good report, then that's what we will be. But if we think on bad things, if we think if there's fear, if we think, you know, there's bad things going to happen and, you know, all of that stuff, then we will become that. We will get off track if we do not think on these things that Paul tells us to think about in Ephesians 4:8. We will get off track if we do not think on the things of God. Let me say that again. We will get off track and we'll stumble and fall out of the way that God has for us if we do not think on the things of God. The things of God are found in the manual. You got to go back to the manual and you got to read the manual and we got to think on those things. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that is an illustration. Our heart has always been a place of decision. Our heart has always been a place that, you know, Jesus says in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock. Well, that, you know, that door is the gate. Our heart is always the gate. And whatever we open that door up to, whatever we open our heart up to, then we will become that. Right? And so whatever we left behind that door, as it opens up and closes, we will become that. So we need to think on those things that are of God. whatever we think on, we will become that. That's why our mind must always be renewed. We must always allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind so that we'll be able to think on those things of God. This is a critical point that most Christians, they never really get too concerned about their thought life, and they just let it go wild, and then they get off track very, very carefully. Well, if you can stay in the manual, and if you can think on those things in the manual, then your thought life will be all right, and you will become those things that are in the manual. These believers who think on everything but these things, that is one reason why they are in trouble, and they do not follow the manual. We must follow the manual. If we are to share with God in the ministry of the gospel, we must be trained and approved. Wow. Let me say that again. If we're going to share with Christ in the ministry of the gospel, we must. It's imperative. There's no way around it. We must be trained and we must be approved. There must be a period in our life to where we're trained. Jesus went through a training period. Paul went through a training period. Anybody that ever became anybody in the Bible went through a training period, and then they were approved. The day that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened up, the Holy Spirit descended. That was an approving, that was a sealing, that was an acceptance of the Father that Jesus is ready to go ahead and begin his ministry. And we too must be trained, and we too must be approved if we're going to share with Christ in the ministry of the gospel. Our training takes place in various situations and circumstances, not just in a classroom or the church building proper. Paul lists some of them. These are some areas that the training that we go through in life and the approval in our life. These are just some areas, some very casual areas, okay? Corinthians 6, 4, and 5. Can you believe these are some areas? But in all things, all things, well, back in Philippians 4, 8, it says these things. That's the same thing as saying, but in all things, approving. There must be an approving in our life. There must be an approving. We must be found acceptable. Let me say that again. There must be an approving. We must be found acceptable if Christ is going to entrust the things of God into our life. God will not give us things, the things of God. He will not give us the things of the Spirit if we have not been approved and if we have not been trained. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God and much patience. Wow. Patience is one of those all things. Patience is one of those afflictions. Oh, afflictions. You mean that's we get trained in afflictions? You bet. And necessities. And necessities, that word necessities there is things that we need to survive. Things that we need to survive. So we need a house, and we got to have faith in God that He will provide a place for us to stay. We got to have faith in God that He will provide clothes and transportation and all of those things, in necessities, in distresses. In distresses, we got to have faith in God. We're being approved, we're being trained in distress. When we're in distress, what do we do? What is our mouth? Do we curse God, or do we say, do we bless the Lord, Well, if we curse God, we have not, in our training, then we're not going to be approved. But if we can, in our distresses and bad situations in our life, we can say, the Lord giveth, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If we can say that in distresses, then we will be approved. In stripes, wow, Paul was beaten many, many times. In imprisonment, Paul was imprisoned many, many times. In turmoils, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, all of these in 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 5 are areas of training. These are areas of training. These are areas of training that Paul went through, and these are also areas of training in our lives. Our training takes place in our daily living. Let me say that again. Our training that we go through in God as we look at the manual, our training goes through in our daily living, in our failures, and in our victories. The daily training that we go through, they will either lead us to failure or to victory. Failure or victory. But in the failure and the victory, there is an approving and a qualifying that God works into our life. And that is a critical, critical point. We must be trained and we must be approved. We must be found acceptable in our areas of training. If not, God will not use us. He cannot use us. He will not entrust the gospel message. He will not entrust things of God to anybody that He cannot trust. He will not do that. I hear many people say, "Oh God, I want to be used in ministry, you know, in ministry. Glenn, I want to go here and I want to go there." Well, God loves us so much that He's not going to let us have that wish, that desire. He loves us so much He's not going to let us do that. Because He knows if He does, it will destroy us. God loves us so much. And He knows what He's doing. And He knows what it takes. And He knows where we are and, you know, any training we've had. And He knows that we've been approved or not. And God loves us so much that He will not allow our desire to come true. Amen. Our training takes place in our daily living, in our failures and in our victories. Our high school and college degree will not be the evidence of approval. Wow. Our high school and college degrees. I have, you know, a master's program, you know, a master's degree and, you know, a bachelor's degree, and I have all this education and training. But that is not the evidence in God of approval. The Apostle Paul has it right when he wrote, "Now these is the evidence of approval as you go through the training, patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses. But here is the approval." This is the approval, and that's found in 2 Corinthians 6 through 8. "By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unperturbed," and which is mean, you know, unbreakable, a love that is just unbreakable. "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand." And the word "right" there is very specific. And on the left, "right" appeared first, because right is always the place of honor. So on the right hand, but not only on the right hand of honor, but also on the left, on the, you know, of dishonor. And that's an interesting thought here. The armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. On the left, I mean, on the right hand, a place of honor, and the left hand, a place not of honor. "By honor and dishonor." Wow. The armor of righteousness by dishonor? Well, that's what the Bible says. "By an evil report and a good report, as deceivers and yet true." Wow. These are the areas of approval. So as we go through the training, through all of those difficult areas in our life, the approval of that will be seen in the areas of, in the areas of righteousness and pureness of knowledge and long suffering and kindness and love and truth. All of these areas are the approval of God in our life. A degree from a Bible school, no matter the denomination, whatever, will never make you ready for ministry. I'm not so sure why everybody stresses you got to go to Bible school. Because I know a lot of people that went to Bible school that they do not have revelation. They do not possess the revelation of God. And I know many people that never went to Bible school, but they possess the revelation knowledge of God. And they can get up and they can minister. They can minister. A degree from Bible school will never, ever make you ready for ministry. But learning to live right, but learning to live not right, but righteously will always prepare you for ministering. And that is in the areas of our training, as we live through life, as we allow the Lord to work in our life, preparing us for ministry, and then the approving. Amen. Revelation is always God's measuring stick of man. Let me say that again. Revelation is always God's measuring stick of man. It does not matter how many degrees you have, how good looking you are, how much money you have, how affluent, how big your church is, whatever. That is not what God uses to measure a man. God uses how much knowledge, the revelation knowledge that they possess of God, that is the measuring stick of a man. And the church needs to learn that. Amen. These are the areas of learning from the manual that will develop the life of God in us. God is not so concerned about developing this or this church or this denomination or any of that stuff, but God is concerned about developing His life in us so that we can go out and share His life with others. We can go ahead and break a little bit of work that God has done in our life and reach into our heart and pull it out and feed it to a brother or a sister. Amen. And God is always trying to conform us into the character, into the icon, the actual image of Jesus Christ. That is God's goal in our life. It is not to make us handsome and rich and famous or any of that stuff. Oh, no, no, no. God is always trying to conform us into the character of Jesus Christ. And the character of Jesus Christ is some of the things that we saw in 2 Corinthians 6, 6 and 8, which is that approval. And I will tell you, it's very difficult to allow God to work in the character of Christ in our life, because we don't want that. We don't want that. But I will promise you, that's the only way that you will ever get God's approval in our life is when we allow Him to work Christ's character into us. And that's a very difficult process. But that's the way it happens. And that happens in our training and all of those areas. Amen. These things are the evidence of the approval of God. Wow, can you imagine that? The approval of God. Who would want the approval of God? Well, I am one that would want the approval of God. These are part and necessary to function as a true servant of God. You cannot function as a true servant of God unless you've been approved by God, unless you have these qualities found in 2 Corinthians 6, 6 through 8, operating in your life. The list reads someone like the part of a rifle in a manual. Amen? The soldiers learn the manual and its rifle. Every part must be clean, in proper working order, and in its place. And that's so in the manual. We must read the manual. We must understand the manual. Then we must allow the manual to, you know, to work in our life. And we must take those things in the manual and apply those to areas in our life. And every part of our life must be clean. They must be in proper working order. And they must be in place if we desire to be a true servant of God. Amen. That's not saying we're not going to make mistakes. Oh, no, no, no. No, we're going to make mistakes. But God knows our heart. And God knows if there's a mistake that we've made, you know, He'll take care of that. You know, and if you make a mistake, that's okay, because that is just a learning experience. That's a learning experience. And God, you can make a mistake, and well, maybe you won't get away with it, but if you make a mistake, you know, and you learn from that mistake, that's okay. Don't make a mistake in the world. Oh, no, no, you make a mistake in the world, and you're in trouble. You may lose your job or whatever, whatever, but not so in God. As long as we don't get stuck in our mistakes, making the mistake is not a bad thing. It's a learning experience. And our victories and in our failures, in our victories and our failures, that is our daily living, and that is the training areas of our life. If a part is missing or is out of place or gummed up, the rifle will not work properly. And that's so too in our life. If there's something missing in our life, or something's out of place, or something's all gummed up, we will not work properly. If not, you know, the rifle will not fire at all, and we will not fire. Or it may misfire and hurt or kill the innocent. And that has happened so many times. A bad rifle wasn't cleaned, whatever, there was a misfire, and innocent people have been killed. This also happens in the body of Christ. There are ministers of God who have parts missing. Let me say that again. There are ministers of God who haven't been trained. They're out there ministering. They haven't been trained. They haven't allowed God to work in their life. They don't have all of their parts and so forth and so on. And they have missing parts. They have things that they are lacking. Through them, many innocent people are hurt or even killed. And I'm talking spiritually here. I'm not talking physically. Maybe physically. I hope not. But I know many people that are not moving correctly, many ministers that are not moving correctly. They have parts missing or, you know, but they hurt innocent people. Amen? Every part Paul listed is vital and should be in the life of the messenger of God. Every one of these parts should be in the messenger of God. I have been wounded by such folks. I have been wounded many times in my life by such folks, by ministers that were missing parts. They did not have it all together. And they hurt me. And they killed my spirit at times. But this is even worse. I, David, have wounded folks. I have wounded folks. Wow. I've had it done to me, and I have done it. But if we learn from our mistakes, we will be useful again. Remember, in God, if you make a mistake, that's okay, you know, it's okay. Because if you learn from it, it's okay if you learn from it. You pick yourself up and you go on and you don't do it again. Amen. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy 1 and 2. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Faithfulness is a key. That is one of those approvals that we must have in our lives. We go through all of those tough areas and distresses and necessities, and we must be found faithful. We must be found faithful in all of these areas. Amen? All the training areas, no matter what God uses for a training area, we must be found faithful in all of those training areas if God is going to use us, or if we're going to be used and approved by God. If we cannot be faithful to God and to man, let me say that again. If you cannot be faithful to God and man, then he cannot use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. We must be faithful to God and to man, and then he can use us. God found faithfulness in Paul. This was the quality which God thought necessity and proper for putting him into the ministry. God found faithfulness into Paul, and based on Paul's faithfulness, God put him into the ministry. Wow. We must be faithful in following the manual. We must. Remember, Paul didn't have the Bible. Paul didn't have the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? We always think about the patriarchs and all these people, you know, Peter and Paul and the disciples, you know, they had the Bible. Well, no, they never had the Bible. The only writing that they had was the Old Testament. Wow. But he was faithful to the Father. He was faithful to the Father. And because he was faithful, he was put into the ministry. We must be faithful in following the manual that we have. We must be faithful in following the Master. Wow. We must be faithful in following God's will and God's direction in our life. These are four areas that we must be found faithful in. We must be faithful in reading the manual, being in the manual. We must be faithful in following the Master. And we must be faithful in following God's will and His direction in our life. Those four areas are critical. That's the essence right there of your walk with the Lord. That is the essence right there, is being found faithful in the manual, following the Master, following God's will for your life so you don't go your own direction, and God's direction for His life. And if you cannot be found faithful to God and to man, that He cannot use us. We disqualify ourselves for service. Not God disqualifies us. We will disqualify ourselves for service because we were not faithful, to the Lord. It's not God's intention for anyone to be lost. It's not even God's intention for any Christian not to come to the purpose and plan that God has for their life. It's God's intention for us to come to the end and the purpose that God has for us. And that only happens when we allow God to work in our life. If not, we will disqualify ourselves for the things that God has for our life. Amen. So, parting thoughts. In our training, we become qualified soldiers. Approved or qualified. Same, same. We become qualified soldiers that will get the victory, moving into areas which God intends us to conquer in. There are areas that God intends for David Saul to conquer in. Areas in my life in the future, areas right now that God is waiting for me to conquer in. And whether I come and conquer in those areas is not dependent upon God. He wants me to conquer in those. But it's up to me. Am I willing to follow the master, follow the manual, be faithful in God's will and God's direction? If I am, then God will be able to bring me into those areas and help me conquer in those areas. Amen. Amen. In our training, we are exercised and we become strengthened. We grow in strength. Second Peter 3:18 is a wonderful verse. It says, "Therefore, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." You rarely hear any churches talk about that verse because not too many churches talk about spiritual growth and development. And that's why there's a bunch of immature Christians sitting on the pews and chairs every Sunday, because there's been no spiritual growth. They're saved, they're maybe on their way to heaven, but they're a bunch of babes sitting there sucking on an old milk bottle, and there's no spiritual growth, there's been no training, you know, and they're just not, you know, there's just no spiritual growth, you know. That's what God intends. After we go ahead and give our heart to the Lord, then God is looking for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge. There must be spiritual growth in our life. In our training, we are to exercise, and we are to become strengthened. Here in Ephesians 6:10, Paul says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I promise you, you will never, ever be able to be strong in the power of His might unless there's some spiritual growth and development in your life. A baby who just becomes, you know, just becomes a Christian cannot move in the power of His might. They do not have the strength, they do not have the wherewithal, they do not have the ability to move in that. They will need God to work in their life, strengthen them with might in the inward man, give them understanding and knowledge, so they'll be able to move, you know, to move in the power of His might. Amen. Well, how are they supposed to move in the power of His might? Well, that's easy. By training, by exercising, and by obedience. Those three things. That is the way that we learn how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is by training, by exercising, and by obeying. Those are three critical key areas that if you're taking notes over the internet or whatever, you need to really keep that in your spirit. Amen. Paul in Ephesians 6:11 goes on and he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now that word wiles there is translated subtle approaches. Because the devil doesn't make a headlong attack. You know, I mean the devil doesn't do that. You know, he's not out there, you know, it's not a frontal assault. No. He makes little small subtle approaches, little small probes and you know, plants kind of, you know, gets you going this way, and then your mind takes off if it's not been trained, and takes off, and the next thing you know, you're off track. Amen. No strength, no power. Let me say that again. No strength, no power. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." If there's no training, no exercising, and no obedience, then there will be no power at all. But who is to put on the whole armor of God? Only those that are strong. That's what it says here. It says, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Only the strong, believe it or not, can put on the whole armor of God. Only the strong. Do not insist that a babe put on the whole armor of God. Isn't that amazing? Someone comes into church and you expect them to be a mature Christian, or you expect them to understand and know things. Well, that's just not the way it works. You can't put on the whole armor of God if you're a babe. And we need to expect a new Christians to make mistakes. We need to expect a new Christians to say and do dumb things and stuff. And we need to have grace to understand and teach them and train them and encourage them, and you know, so they can, get on track. Amen. David can tell you all about that. He experienced that. When David, before he went out to Goliath, all David had was a sling and five little stones. And Saul said, well, no, I'm going to go ahead and give you my armor. So we had the king's armor and the king's sword and the helmet. And David was a little ruddy kid. He was about 16 years old. And he wasn't strong enough to hold up the armor. He said, no, I can't do that. This armor's too heavy. And so he took it off. Well, thank God he took it off, because when he took off Saul's armor, then he put on the whole armor of God, and he went out there and he defeated Goliath with five stones. You know, I always find that amazing that Goliath was felled by one stone. That was it. That's all it took, was one stone that Goliath went ahead and was hit in the forehead, and he went down. But David, the Bible says, picked up five more stones. Picked up five stones. Well, he used one against Goliath. I often wondered what David did with those four other stones. Well, the Bible says after Goliath fell, the children of Israel, they ran across the valley, and David killed four more Philistines with those stones, I bet. Amen. If we do not grow spiritually, we will not be able to put on the whole armor of God. Wow, that was worth coming. If we do not grow spiritually, we will not be able to put on the whole armor of God. Half armored is more dangerous than no armor. Amen? Half armored is more dangerous than no armor. And when I was in the Navy, you know, one thing you do training for, like gas mask and weapon qualifications and all of this good stuff, you know, it's better not to have any training than a little bit of training and not really know how a weapon really works. It's better to have no training and have a fear of that weapon than to have a weapon and know a little bit how it works, and you know just enough just to be dangerous with that. And so it's better to put on the whole armor of God, because if you put on half the armor, that is more dangerous. More dangerous. Amen. God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He prevented, and He prevented Israel's confrontation with Pharaoh's army. Isn't that amazing? God loved the children of Israel so much that He prevented them from fighting at this time. He knew He was going to take them to the wilderness of sin and make fighters, make soldiers out of them, so they would be able to go in and conquer the promised land. Why did He do this? Before the battle, the Israelites were to be tried and stripped. They had to be trained. They had to be exercised. And God was looking for obedience in them. Well, that's the same principle in us. We're not ready for the battle unless God can train us, unless God can strengthen us, and unless we can work in obedience to Him. Because the children of Israel, just like us when we first get saved, were babes. They had no training. They had no experience for warfare. Exodus 13:17 says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not to the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." It was easier. They could let them right through the land of the Philistines, and they could have got there in about 3 or 4 days into the Canaan land. For God said, lest peradventure or unless they would run away, or they would be coward, or they couldn't do what they wanted to do. The people repent when they see the war, and they would return to Egypt. God did not want the children of Israel to go back to Egypt. And he knew if he led them a short way that, you know, they would run from the battle. So God took them all the way around, 40 years in the desert and in the wilderness, training them and strengthening them and teaching obedience to them. Amen? Yes. Like new believers in the Lord, they were quick to return to Egypt's bondage. Remember, it wasn't that Pharaoh did not want to kill the children of Israel, as does the enemies in our life. He didn't want to kill them. He wanted to put them into bondage. You can't do much with a dead body, but you can do much with a body that is in bondage. And that's what God did not want. God did not want them to die, and he did not want his children to go back into Egypt and go back into slavery and go back into bondage, if not trained and strengthened. Because novice do not war. Wow. Now notice, that's some big letters if you got the notes here. Novice do not war. If you don't read the manual, then you're never ever going to be prepared for battle. You gotta read the manual. If Israel stood against Egypt, they would have lost the battle, and they were not trained, they were not exercised, and they were not obedient. God knew they were untrained babes. Amen. We must be trained by the Spirit of God from the manual, so that we will be strengthened with might in the inward man to be able to stand and withstand. You know, there's a difference. Ephesians 6:13 says, "By therefore stand." So it talks about standing, and here is standing. I'm just standing. You know, when I see these big loblolly pines and these big pond pines, you think, what are these trees doing? And we look, and they're just kind of waving in the breeze, but actually those trees are working. Those trees are hard at work. Those trees, and any tree out there, is lifting gallons and gallons of water all the way from the root structure, all the way up the trunk, all the way to the very tippy top, and back down. Nutrient in that tree. Those trees are standing, but they are working. They are doing, lifting gallons and gallons of water. So that's standing. But Ephesians, Paul says, withstanding. Withstanding is as we stand, we get punched. We get hit. We got to withstand the blows, even those little subtle approaches that the devil makes. We must be able to stand, and we must withstand. If not, no matter how long we've been in church, no matter whose roles we're on, and no matter we call ourselves a Christian or whatever, and no matter any of that stuff, we are a novice. We are a novice, and novice don't war, because they will be defeated. They will be defeated. We must read the manual. We must read the manual. It is critical that we read the manual. It is critical that we follow the Master. It is critical that we follow the Master. And it's critical that we follow God's will and God's direction in our life. Because if not, then we are a novice. And a novice does not war, because the novice will always be defeated. And if we read the manual, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never be a novice, and we will never, ever be defeated. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings in our life. Father, Lord, thank you for this word tonight, Father, Lord God. Lord God, just break it off, Father, Lord God, and feed us, Father, Lord God. Feed us the word that is convenient for our soul that we need, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Work in our life, Father, Lord God, and help us never to be a novice, Father. Lord, help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, teach us, Father, Lord God. Train us, Father, Lord God. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Train us, Father, Lord God. Teach us obedience, Father, Lord. And we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. Exercise us, Father, Lord God, as we go through daily living through life, Father, Lord. Exercise us, and we just love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.